Now, the 2019 federal election may have been just an excuse for most of us to get out of the house and eat a democracy sausage, but our next guest, it was actually something much more important to him. Our guest today, Declan Steele, at only 19 years of age, was the youngest candidate of a major party at this year's election, running for the Labour Party in the division of McKellar, where despite the country as a whole swinging blue, Declan managed to gain voters in one of the country's safest Liberal seats. Declan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, let's just start off. So how did a 19-year-old become a candidate for a major party at the federal election?
Well, it always seemed to me like something out of Waiting for Godot, something that happened, a very surreal end result that came in a very banal fashion. About 2 years ago now, I did something completely normal and remarkable. I, in my teenage years, full of hope and optimism of the future, I joined Young Labour.
Yeah.
And obviously, I live in Collaroy, which is one of the most blue areas of the whole country.
Yeah.
And so my branch meeting is normally just about 10 people on a good night of either extreme of the age spectrum. it's interesting. It's fascinating. Like, being politically engaged and active seems to be something that comes to you when you're very young and then again when you retire.
Yeah, there's a little gap in the middle, I'd say.
I know. And after not long at all, it came time for the party to select candidates for the state election in March. And me and Kira, the only other branch member who was not of a very advanced age, we were both asked, would you be interested in running? Kira wasn't, and I, after about a week, I went, yeah, sure. And I had a bit of a pep talk from, of all people, my grandmother, who said, isn't it an experience of regret? And I said, no, and she said, yeah, there's your answer. And so for the next few months, I was the Labour candidate for Wakehurst, which is Brad Hazard's division. It's from about goes from about Narrabeen to DY north south, and then from DY to Forestville east west. Because Labour has a habit of pre-selecting its candidates months and months and months for an election, there was a long stretch of boredom, really.
Yeah,
it was like took photos, did bureaucratic things, filled out AEC forms, and very little happened. I was just the first time I was introduced as a candidate was to a passerby who asked why I was dressed in a suit on a rainy day on a pedestrian bridge in Frederick's Forest for a photo. And then my only real capacity as a candidate that I was able to exercise before I was transferred to the federal election was setting a transport forum where I had a unpleasant interaction with the now opposition leader Jodie McKay over a transport proposal. It made me second guess my decision to agree to be the state Labour candidate, because I felt that I became deeply worried that simply because I wasn't a target. I understand that because I didn't live in a target seat, and there was an iceberg chance of hell of Labour winning the seat.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't going to get much tension, but she was making a point of giving me none. So at this point, I got quite worried. However, as luck would have it, actually, no, that's a bad way of putting it, because it involved a person being injured. Our federal candidate Daniel Pierce developed a back problem in November of last year. And he's a flight attendant, so this has to recover urgently.
Oh, yeah.
And he stood aside, and Chris Sharp, our lovely DY branch head, said, Declan, if I stand in Wakehurst, do you want to be the federal candidate? Now, I'd already thought to myself, I can actually ad-lib better on federal issues. I'm a business student. I care deeply about social policy.
Yeah.
It requires a lot less nerdy briefings. So I agree enthusiastically, thinking, yes, like, this is something I can do better.
So you actually found it easier to go like really big spectrum with the federal issues than you did like transport and buses?
Strangely, yes. Even though being a young person in Long Beach is the cause of my life is having better buses than we've got now. I just found it easier because it was something I could talk about intelligently, and being a recent student of economics, I could intelligently refute the Liberals' economic policy in an intelligent academic fashion.
Yeah.
Quite simply, because most of the economic policies the Liberals took to election are not stuff you hear anymore from most university economists. They still depend on neoliberalism, which it worked great in the 80s when most of the world economy was stagnating. But most of its tenets have long since been refuted. It's not a viable way of growing an economy. Mm-hmm. It splits the wealth unevenly between its creators and those who should be benefiting from it, and by concentrating wealth at the top, among those who don't really notice that they're becoming richer, it stuns economic growth because stimulus to those on lower or middle incomes is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, weirdly enough, as a federal candidate, one of my main points was economic growth, because the policies I was ending moderate taxation, infrastructure spending, higher wages. They're the proven ways of growing an economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was actually really lovely being able to refute the Liberals on an economics-driven platform.
Wait, so, okay, just tell me, how did you find running as a 19-year-old? Were people accepting of that?
Well, surprisingly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was the strangest thing. I was expecting, like, immediate backlash from, oh, look, Labour stood a child. Which, I mean, it's more or less correct. But when I started running, I found that I could use my age to my benefit, because most of the hot button issues of the 2019 election were stuff that disproportionately affected people our age, like economic stagnation, incredibly high housing prices, environmental degradation. This is stuff that we will have to live with and suffer for the next 60 years. Whereas most of those in power right now, without wanting to put too fine a point on it, by the time that climate has run its course, most of them will have passed on.
Mm.
For them, it's inherently difficult to become very concerned and animated about something that they won't suffer for. And so I was able to say to people in Mackellar, because obviously it's the Northern Beaches, we all care deeply about our bushland, our beaches, our environment. Vote for someone who has a explicit personal interest in saving the environment, because I have to live in it for another 60 years. I have to prevent the worst climate change for my own good. And for the good of everyone my age. And I have to fight for more reasonable housing prices so I can afford to live in my own seat. And I have to fight for a stronger economy, because I'm still studying, I'm still working part time. I have to make sure I can get a decent full time job like most Australians of the old generations have been able to expect.
Hmm. So would you say that running like that you think more kids your age should run at a federal level?
I really say why not? Because elections are normally fought on issues that will affect something that isn't really that long term. I mean, at this election, most of our stuff was fought on the economy, which is at the best like a medium term thing. Climate change, which is like the height of all long term issues, mm-hmm. it won't really hit hard for another 40 years, and housing prices, where this almost bubble situation we have, its true damage to the economy won't rear its head for a bit.
Yeah, until like you and I are grown up.
Yeah. So, and just young people like us, we sort of live in fear of a Hong Kong-like situation emerging, where housing is so prohibitively expensive, it's something passed down, it's dynastic rather than something traded in a normal market. And so I absolutely think more young people should run, because this is our futures. For the average political candidate, it's their present and their past. Their future is retirement.
Mm.
So for them, they have an incentive to focus on the very short term, what benefits them now.
Yeah.
We have to think in the long term. We have to think what will create a better society for us in the future when we have children, when our children have children, not what will create a better future for me in next year.
So you took this to the election. I mentioned earlier you got a swing.
Mm.
So are you happy with your performance?
Absolutely. I got a swing to me in Mackellar, and I won a booth.
You won a booth.
I'll be able to take them a stripe for the rest of my life. I, a Labour candidate in Northern Beaches, won a booth. I was like, oh my god.
So which one was it?
DY North. It is probably of all the booths in Northern Beaches, it probably is the one that we were best chance winning. Mm. DY is consistently the most socioeconomically normal bit of the Northern Beaches.
Yeah.
It's a decidedly more average Sydney suburb than most places in the Northern Beaches. But still, nonetheless, it is consistently votes Liberal. It's always a lot narrower than the rest of it. Like it would be marginal if it's on its own, but still we don't win booths there.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, in our PCYC on Fish Road, I won it.
You did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took a knife to the heart of the Liberal Party there.
I know. The funniest thing is Jason Flinsky misread the results.
Really?
Yeah, he got it backward.
Oh.
And so he proudly gloated that he had a 10% swing to him in DY North, and which just to highlight how much he reversed the results by misreading it, which he thought he had never won. He won it every time for the past few decades. it was just lovely watching him gloat about, like watching him lament the things he had won and gloat about the things that I had nabbed off him.
So he really buffed you up in that sort of, this is an amazing achievement for winning DY, when he was really gloating about what you had done.
Yeah, including, we had a, there's one booth in Bugolopaddo where I got a 16% swing.
Ooh.
And I'm pretty sure he blurted about that too.
16%. Oof, you should get that tattooed on your arm. Got a 15% swing in a Liberal seat.
Yeah, so, Switchwatch is enough.
So tell me, after doing that, going into the heart of the Liberal territory, finding some valley of success, do you see yourself having a future in politics like this?
I honestly don't know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an amazing experience, the one I'm very glad I had, because this is where I thought my life was going.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it actually became quite a difficult and bizarre experience.
Mm-hmm.
The main one is, and I'm sure anyone who's ever run for office will go, when they hear this, is the lack of autonomy you get.
Mm.
I mean, it's always important to stick to the party platform, but the LP has a way of being a bit overboard when it does that. Like it really started to get my nerves. I couldn't say almost anything freely. I had to stop myself, run it by Elise, my organizer, who I'm immensely thankful for, because she probably kept me from about 5 scales over the course of the thing.
Yeah.
Have her vet it, have her send a draft, which normally sounded completely robotic. Mm-hmm. And was obviously a draft.
Oh, yeah.
And have me try to bend it so I still sounded 19. And it became quite difficult balancing federal and state Labor.
Yeah.
Because the biggie, and this has been well and truly proven by the recent corruption scandal, there is a big culture difference between federal Labor and state Labor. Federal Labor runs like a normal political party, but mild atmosphere of tension, a bit dull, full of nerds. Like what a political party should be.
What we expect of a political party in Australia.
Yeah. State Labor is Graham Richardson's horrible, horrible motto, whatever it takes, that fits. So whenever I wanted to do something normal to appeal to a community, I had to try and avoid them. Because in New South Wales Labor, in their mind, whatever it takes also includes bashing out rich areas to try and gain some nasty kudos with safe seats, which is a bit useless because most of them safe seats, but still. You're just going to this really quite horrible balancing act. And in the final month, I was just thinking, I'm not sure I want to live my life like this, especially not at this age. Then there was the normal teenager things.
Yeah.
I couldn't go out and get smashed. Yeah. I couldn't become a political candidate seen hungover leering at people on King's Cross one night. So by the end I wanted my normal life back. At least while I was still studying, while I was still young, while I was still kind of meant to be complete idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does take away a bit the political sphere from just like being a normal person.
It really does. It's like being in a professional environment 24/7. You have to gag yourself for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle to do that even at my normal work.
Yeah.
So trying to be calm, controlled, to give rehearsed answers to everything is something that absolutely does not come naturally to me. You probably hear it now. I'm saying all the time.
Yeah.
And right now it sort of became rather exhausting. I wonder if I had won, I would probably be described as, what's the euphemism, one of those colourful politicians, or a maverick.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of trouble not expressing my honest opinion of something.
Mm. Yeah, which doesn't sound like it melded well with a ALP like oversight.
No, it didn't. Absolutely not.
So Declan, I can't thank you enough for coming in today.
That's all right.
That is a fantastic point of view on politics, and I think we're going to be watching your career very closely, assuming there is one, if you can find a balance between the personal and the political. But otherwise, thank you so much for your time.
That's all right. Thanks for having me.